Crossroads family, glad that you're here with us again. We've been looking at the thought of communism. That's been our series that we're discussing. And we've come to find out that it's not necessarily a bad thing to have things in common with others. The problem we get into is when we lessen what our abilities are just so we can fit in with others. And tonight, as we get into this study, one of the things we're wanting to look at is how do we see Jesus? Is it the way everyone else sees him? Or do we see him differently because we have a personal relationship with him? Glad that you're with us. Hope this message speaks to you. And we just want to welcome you to Communism, How I See Jesus.
Could you imagine if you had been in New York when that was going on?
That would have been funny.
Did you get the other half? So tonight's study has nothing to do about when you don't hear what you think you hear. It's more about when you see something that you don't really wonder, is that what I saw? Those people had to be freaking out. I saw this video a long time ago on YouTube, and it was just, well, a long time ago, several months ago, and it's just one of the neatest things in the world to me. A guy named Casey Neistat's the one that set it all up, and I can't remember that other guy's name, the guy that was Aladdin. He's prank versus prank.
Yeah, Jesse.
He always sounds like he got to stop that noodles little dog, you know. So, but they shot this video and it went viral. They had like 8 million visits in 3 days. So it was just one of the neatest things. But I started thinking about how many people were just standing there and out of the corner of their eye, they saw that and went, what was that? Could you imagine seeing that in Clanton? I mean, it'd have to be a four-wheel drive, obviously. And if you were dressed up like someone from an Arab nation, you'd probably get shot. That's terrorists right there riding one of them evil magic carpets. So we've all had a time in our life when we've thought we've seen something. Oops, as I run into this. Think we've seen something and then we realize we didn't really see what we thought we saw. There used to be a Dr. Pepper commercial. Y'all remember Dr. Pepper, right? Is this still a popular drink? So Dr. Pepper was this popular thing, and I'm a pepper, she's a pepper, he's a pepper, we're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? So that was the jingle. And as they're singing it, they're going across the Golden Gate Bridge, and there's this guy driving in a Benz, and it's the old school square box Mercedes Benz, but it's a rag top, so the top's down on it. And you see him driving, he's got his arm like this, and you see this blonde hair just flowing right here beside him. And I'm like 8 or 9 years old, going, that's pretty girl, man, pretty girl. Daddy's gonna be pretty girl. And as the truck drives up with the camera and turns, it's a dog sitting there. I don't know what kind of dog it is, long hair, just, it was just a dog sitting there. And I was just like, I thought it was a girl. And Dad was like, yeah, you're a moron. That's why you thought that. So we've all had those moments when we thought we've seen something and we didn't actually see what was going on in our mind. I was real young and just entertained me. I've told you this story before, but I'm getting old, so I can't remember who's heard it and who hadn't. So here we go. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and we went on a vacation. We went on two vacations growing up, and this was to my aunt's house in Tampa. Now, my aunt is my dad's twin sister, and we had decided, or my parents had decided we were going on vacation, so we went to Aunt Glenda's house. Now, in Aunt Glenda's house, it was my sister and myself, Mom, Dad, Aunt Glenda, Uncle Bill, Vincent, Lynn, Laura, Pat, Lance, and Isla. Isla, X-Y-L-A. I don't know what it means, but that's her name. So we had all those people in a house that wasn't much bigger than this area right here. And so we're all crowded in there, but the next day, we went on the real vacay. We went to Daytona Beach. First time I'd ever seen a beach. It was the coolest thing in the world. And I had just gotten to the place where I could whistle. How many of y'all can whistle? 1, 2, 3, whistle. 1, 2, 3. Not bad, not bad. So, hey, y'all know what y'all need to do? Y'all need to get Jessica to spit for you.
What?
She was spitting at me one night at dinner. Anyway, it's real funny. So there's a YouTube video out there somewhere. It's got it. So anyway, we're at Daytona Beach, and I just learned how to whistle. And so my father and I are standing out on the patio. What's it called? The
balcony.
Balcony. So we're standing out there, and about the time I decided it was time for me to whistle, two women were walking by. I'm 4 years old. I have no idea what I just did. And I look at my father. He goes, good God, son. And he grabs me by my face and head and just kind of picks me up and runs. I've never seen my father embarrassed. I mean, seriously, he's never been embarrassed a day in his life. But he was embarrassed at that moment. So we get through with that. And he goes inside and he tells Mom. And Mom's like, oh, Kenny, you're so stupid. You know, and so we're just having a good old time. And Wendy's in there. She's probably reading a book or something. She's real smart. And they say, hey, look, why don't we go to the beach? Since we're at the beach, let's go to the beach. beach. And so Dad takes us down to the beach, and I'd never been on the beach before, and the sand felt weird, and I was just like, this is weird. And so it was weird to me, and I'm reddish hair now. It used to be really red, so if I got into the sun at all, I burst into flames. And so Mom lathered us down with mayonnaise or something. I'm not sure what it was, but we were covered, and we were even whiter than I am right now because she put so much stuff on us. And so Dad's out in the ocean. He's just out there just swimming. He's hanging out with Fidel Castro. I don't know what he's doing. He's out there in the ocean. And my sister, I don't really know what she was doing. She was probably building a geometric castle or something. She's real smart. And then my mom can't swim at all, so she was probably just hanging back smoking. I'm not sure what she was doing. But I looked and I saw my dad, and he was out there in the ocean. And I said, I must go to my father. I don't think I said it like that, but that makes sense. And so I just make a beeline for Daddy. And I'm running just fast as my little fat legs carry me. I just... Well, the night before, there had been a bunch of folks there, and they dug this giant hole. So the tide has come in, and all I see is water and my father. And Daddy's going, come on, son, come on. I'm just, and all of a sudden, boop, I was gone. Just disappeared. And I can remember falling into that 1,000-foot deep abyss and thinking, what goaner, that's a country word for you, is about to eat me. And finally, I bobbed back up. And when I bobbed back up, I was facing the same direction that I'd run from. And I see my mom with two or three smokes by the angle, Kendall! And she's yelling for my father. And so I go back under. And as I go back under, I pop back up, and I'm looking, and like, Dad at this point is on this side, and Mother is on this side, and I hear her screaming again, because Mama can't swim. Mom be like, you know, I want to save you, but sorry, son, sacrifice to whatever. Anyway. And so I'm up, and I can hear Mom yelling this way, and I hear something coming this way. I don't really know what it is, and I go back under. And then I come back up, and when I come back up, I'm turned towards Cuba. And I see something that I didn't understand exactly what it was. Y'all ever seen Baywatch? Baywatch TV show, and every running scene, they're... And they all just looking perfect. Well, my dad looked a lot like me. So you can imagine with that running, bouncing toward... Daddy's bouncing towards me. And I'm just like, oh, just go back down. Just go back down. And I did. I sank back down again, and I felt this hand. Daddy had big hands just like me. And so Daddy reached in and grabbed me by my head and pulled me out. I said, good God, son, what's wrong with you? I saw something. But I didn't see the whole picture. I saw my father, and I wanted to run to Daddy. And to the day, until I can't remember it anymore, I'll never forget that feeling of how disappointed I was that I couldn't get to Dad. And it wasn't because I was going underwater. I could have done that all day, just bobbing. That was no big deal. But I couldn't get to my dad. And it was because there was something that I didn't see in the whole picture of it. The whole picture. We've all been in the place where we see something and it doesn't quite register with us. How many of you have ever been at a ball game and you hear the crowd cheering? Jaden, did you just raise your hand at that one statement? I've been to a ball game, Kenny. I've been to one too, Kenny. Hot dog, we've all got something in common. So, how many of you have been to a ball game and someone's cheering? Let me get that real fast. And as they start screaming, you have no idea why they're yelling, but you jump up and go, yeah! Most women are going, yeah, yeah. One of my favorite things to do is watch cheerleaders, not because I'm a creeper or anything, but I love it like when someone is hurt on the field and they don't really know what to do at that point. They're like, do we continue to cheer? Do we... Pray, what are we going to do? They're dying there. So that's just fun for me. But we've all been there. You've been places, you've been to concerts before, and folks start screaming when an act comes out, and you don't know why they're screaming because you didn't see Billy Bob Earl come out. But you got to start screaming because he's got tight jeans on and doesn't really sing country, but he says he's country. And so you got to scream because that's what everyone else is doing. You've been at a praise and worship service, and you've seen everyone raise their hand. All of a sudden, you raise your hands. You don't really understand why you're doing it. You're just doing it. A lot of times, we find ourselves caught in the trap of following the crowd. Now, I've said it before in this study, and I want to emphasize this again. It's not necessarily a bad thing to follow the crowd. There's nothing wrong with you having the popular clothes or going to the cool places or listening to the same kind of music or digging the same kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you being popular until it becomes a thing that you live for so you can find that popularity. That's when it becomes an issue. But one of the issues that we've got to understand, a lot of times our reasoning for wanting to be what everyone else is not necessarily the right reason. Take your Bibles if you would. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. You know, in our spiritual life, we see Jesus. And we want to run to Jesus because we've heard of Jesus. We hear about His light. We've seen His life. We've seen His love. And we want to experience that. And so we run towards what our mind thinks Jesus is. And the problem with that is until you experience Jesus on a personal level, you're not going to understand the complexity of who He actually is. You're not going to understand the preciousness of who He is. You're not going to understand the value of who Jesus is. And so I started thinking about that a great deal because I have been doing youth work for a couple years now. And one of the things that I've seen time and time again, that it doesn't happen as much as it used to, but you used to have students that would make rededications every year something was going on. And it was not necessarily a bad thing, but it wasn't necessarily a good thing either, because if you've got to rededicate every other week, you didn't dedicate the first time. And so I would watch this, and there was one kid that would never go down. And so I went up to him and I said, Super Cow, that's what we called him. I said, Super Cow, let me ask you something. IR went down, Baboon went down, Chicken went down, why ain't you going? We gave cartoon names. And he said, I don't see any need to go down. I said, oh, so you holy? He says, no. Just because everybody else is going down don't mean I should. And I went, oh, okay. He saw a bigger picture. I think a lot of times we get caught up in moments, just like being at a ball game, and we have a spiritual experience, and it's no more than an emotional thing because we don't realize what we're going towards. The music might draw us. The speaker might draw us, but it's got to be Christ that we're drawn to. And so many times we get sidetracked because the flash of what's now. I love music as much as anyone. And Amy and I took a group of college students to Passion 7,000 or 8,000 years ago. We walked with a purpose or a porpoise. And we're sitting there at Passion, and it was the year they did God's Great Dance Floor. And it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And I caught myself getting all up in the And I was like, I'm Southern Baptist as they come. What am I doing? Has somebody got a gun to my back? I've never done this before in my life. But everybody else was doing it. And they've got this group of folks that sit around the stage. Praise pit. And the lights come on and their hands go up. And everybody, you just see, just hands start going up everywhere. And I feel bad about even thinking this, but I had to think it. How much of this is real? How much of this is real? And I remember Ryan Kirkland and I were talking. I said, yeah, I hate to feel that way because they hadn't sung anything. They hadn't played a note yet. And everybody's already raising their hands. Why weren't they raising their hands before the lights came up? Why don't they raise their hands during all this other stuff that goes on? When we go back to church Sunday morning, is all of our people going to raise their hands when we're singing, So I'll Cherish the Old Rugged Cross? Caught up in the moment, feeling the energy, getting it, but not getting what we're doing this for. Not surrounding ourselves with Jesus, but surrounding ourselves with an experience. And I started thinking about that and thinking about how weird it must have been in biblical days to have Jesus with you, because that's one of the things that you will hear. You know, God's presence is here with us today. And all we have to go on is there a feeling that we have because we don't physically see Jesus walking around in our sanctuaries. We see this, or we get in our mind the presence of God, and you feel the presence of God at times. But think about if you were in biblical days and you were standing there when Jesus walked by, and you were standing there when He stopped and said, whoa, 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 who just touched me? And you look and there's a lady laying on the ground and she said, it was me. She said, I just knew if I touched the hem of your garment, I would be healed. I've had an issue of blood for years. And if I could just touch your garment, I'd be healed. And you're standing there and you're looking at her, the same woman you've walked by for years. And all of a sudden, she stands up and all of her sores are gone. And she's healed. How would your life be changed if you saw that firsthand? And I've been thinking about that a great deal here lately. You know, what would it have been like? How could you have not followed Christ if you watched what He did? And I think one of the things that happened is some people didn't follow Christ because it wasn't what the crowd was doing. And that's one of the scariest things for us to get in, because you are living in a nation that does not want to follow Christ. They want to claim Christianity and they want a piece of heaven, but they don't want to do what it takes to be what God has called them to be, because it's not comfortable for them. And so we water down the faith, we water down what God says, and then we just live our own life and say it's okay. And we can justify every action that we take, but if it doesn't match up with what God says we should be, we're missing the mark. And we're living in a nation, we're living in a world that looks at Christianity and goes, oh, it's just a fairy tale. And the scariest thing is there might be someone sitting here tonight that views Jesus the same way you view Santa Claus. And that's an understandable statement. Because about the time you started hearing Santa Claus from your parents is when you started hearing Jesus too. It's when you started hearing God too. Because as parents, we go, we're going to have Santa Claus, but we got to talk about the true meaning. And so we start hearing the same thing. And then we get to a place to where we either do or don't believe that there's a Santa Claus. And depending on who we are and what's going on in our life, we might get the same way with Jesus. I just don't know if I really believe that. And I want you to understand, it's okay for you to question. But you can't just question. You've got to search for answers. We had a speaker, good grief, Josh McDowell. It was Phila. You remember that? That was a long, long time ago. Renee just said, that's when I was a youth. Thanks. Great. Hey. But Josh McDowell came out and he was sporting Phila. He had on Phila, and he's like 70 years old. And he got up and started talking, and he talked about this high. I had no idea what he was saying. I was green in youth ministry, and he's up there talking about, and the foundations of the Father, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, what? Yeah. And all the students are going, what's he saying? Can you? Well, words, big words. I had no idea. And then he stopped, and he said, can I just be real with you for a minute? Because if he said, can I be real with you, that wouldn't have worked. Can I be real with you for a second? And I was thinking, finally, he's going to say something I get. He said, I am a scholar. And we was all like, yeah, because I needed one of them dinosaurs, a thesaurus, to figure out what you're saying. And he said, because I'm a scholar, I went searching one day to prove that there was no such thing as God. And you know what I found? And I'm sitting there going, we had a Scott Dawson conference at the beach. It's 12 degrees and we at the beach. Scott Dawson has said, you need to come to this conference. So we go to this conference, and you're going to get up and tell me there's not a God? He said, the more I studied, the more I couldn't help but figure out there was definitely a God. He said, because I searched the answers. Folks, if you've got questions about God, you've got to search. If you wonder how something works, you got to dig into it and see how it works. If you're trying to figure out where you are spiritually, is it real? Does it really happen? I can't help but tell you, you're the one that's going to have to find that answer, because just because Bailey believes it doesn't mean I'm going to believe it. Just because Hunter believes it doesn't mean I'm going to believe it. I've got to believe it for myself. And you're at that age right now as teenagers where you've got to start making these decisions yourself. You've got to start making these decisions yourself. We were in Galatians chapter 4, and it was talking about as the servants have children, these children, or as the masters have these children, the servants raise these children in the same kind of clothes that the slave children have, because they want to make sure that they're not ostracized. They want to make sure that they're able to play with kids. And so the royalty, the prince and princesses are dressed just like the common slaves. Until the day comes when daddy says it's time to change. And daddy steps in and he takes that child away from what's common and puts them in a place of royalty. And that's what God is wanting to do with you. He doesn't want you to be common. He's called you to be His child. Child means you're a son of God. Being a child of God means that Jesus is your big brother. There's something special about that, folks. And so many of us are missing out on it because we think, well, I'm just going to believe what my family believes or what Hollywood believes. And if we believe what the world believes, we're going to miss the mark. There we go. what did I say? Matthew what? Thank you. Starting in verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man named Simon the leper, and that's the only time Simon the leper is mentioned in the Bible. It says, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, and she poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. Now, first, you're going to hear that. You're going to read it. How many of you have ever heard this story? Okay. Is it weird to y'all that someone would pour perfume on someone's hair? That just struck me as weird. Here's another weird thing about it. This woman came in and she had an alabaster jar. What that means is just pottery. But the pottery is sealed. And it's sealed so there wouldn't be evaporation and so it wouldn't spill. So the only way you can get into this is you've got to break that bottle. And as she broke that bottle and she poured it over Christ's head and she just rubbed it through his hair, combed it through his hair, it must have been strange for all the disciples sitting there watching. And obviously it was because they start questioning her. But you got to understand, this bottle of perfume that this woman just brought in, they said cost as much as a year's wages. Now, if you think about how much your mom and dad make in a year, just let's go back biblical days, same principle. Everything that she made was in that one bottle. It's kind of grumbling about it. They're just talking, going, "What? Why did she do that?" And Jesus knew exactly what they were saying. It says, aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have, but you will not always have me. These are the disciples that have given up their life to follow Jesus. And for 3 years, 2 years, 3 years, 1 year, they have been following Christ with all they've got. And they followed him so much that they believe he is the Son of God. And now you're saying you're not going to be here? How could you not be here? You're the Son of God. We've seen what you've done. He says, yeah, I'm not going to be here forever. It's just my time is going away. And what just happened, she was preparing me for burial. That's what's going on there. It says, the poor you will have with you always, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus is saying, what just happened is going to be shared to the whole world. And there's no way you could wrap your mind around that in biblical days because you didn't understand what the world was because you couldn't turn on the news and see a picture of the globe. You didn't get out in a boat and circumnavigate the earth. You were just in your little area, and that's all you knew. And so as they're sitting there and he's saying, as this is taught to the world, they start to come to realization of how precious this Jesus is. If it's something that's going to make a worldly impact, it's huge. And the disciples started coming to an understanding of who that was, so much so that Judas got it. He understood how precious Jesus was, but he was also a very greedy person. And then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? He understood the value of Christ was huge. And for 30 pieces of silver and a society pat on the back, he sold Jesus out. Many people look at Judas as probably one of the most evil people to ever walk the earth. I can't disagree with that, but we also got to understand that he's the one that started the whole process of the crucifixion, which leads to our salvation. How do you see Jesus? Is Jesus just the big man upstairs? Is he just somebody that comes and visits at conferences or during Easter? You know, Easter Sunday's coming, folks. We're, 10 days away from it? And we're going to have a ton of creasters. Creasters are folks that only come Christmas and Easter. This place will have 700-800 people over there. It'll be stacked in like whatever's stacked. It's going to be packed. Is that the only time that we really experience Jesus? Or do you have a relationship with him where you understand how precious he is? How do you see Jesus? Is it different from what the world sees? The world sees Jesus as a good man. There's this guy I watch on YouTube called Fun for Louie. He's an English guy. And he'll get up there talking a little bit. And, you know, it's just fun to listen to him talk. And he said, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm religious, but I would say I try to live my life like Jesus did. That chap was good. And as I heard that, I thought, man, that's not enough. You got to believe who Jesus is, the Son of God, who died and was resurrected. You got to believe who, not that he's just a good person. You don't just have to believe in who he is because it says the demons in hell know who he is. That's not enough. You got to have a relationship with him. That's what makes you, those of you that claim to be followers of Christ, different from what the world sees in Christ. Because the world sees him as a good person and you see him as your Savior.